Good day, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of Duropla Industries Limited and SKP Securities to Duropla Industries Q4 FY23 and FY23 earnings webinar. We have with us Mr. Sudeep Chitlangia, MD, Mr. Akhilesh Chitlangia, ED and CEO, and Mr. Pawan Kumar Verma, CFO. This webinar is being recorded for compliance reasons, and during the discussion, there may be certain forward-looking statements which must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Chitlangia and a presentation by the management, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Sudeep ji.
Thank you, Naveen. Good morning to everyone, and thank you for attending our earnings webinar for Q4 FY23 and for the year FY23. I'm happy to inform that during FY23, Duropla has increased its revenue by over 58% and returned to significant profitability with a PBT of approximately 8 crores. Duropla, founded in 1957, and over the last 66+ years, has built up a good brand, especially strong in the north. Duropla, or rather Duro, is recognized across India for its high standard of quality that has been maintained over the years. We are present across the country and expanding with a renewed focus in the west and southern markets. Last few years have been extremely challenging for the company, accentuated by the COVID-led disruption. Last year, we raised rupees 28 crores in equity capital by way of preferential allotment of equity shares and warrants. Warrants issued to the promoter group pending for conversion will be done in the near future. This infusion of funds has allowed us to meet our working capital challenges, setting the company on a growth path, some of which you have already seen. Perhaps you will see more growth going forward. I take this opportunity to express my gratitude towards our investors who have showed faith in us and the potential of our brand. I also would like to thank our customers, distributors, vendors, and our employees who, despite all challenges, have stayed with us over the years. Without them, this turnaround would not have been possible. At Duropla, the next generation of promoters have added significant energy and exuberance in implementing the new initiatives for this turnaround. Akhilesh Chitlangia, who is the COO and ED, is responsible for overall operations. As VP Manufacturing, Abhishek Chitlangia is responsible for the manufacturing and supply chain. I now invite Mr. Akhilesh Chitlangia to share the various initiatives that we have implemented and its impact on the business. Thank you.
Akhilesh, you need to unmute yourself.
Sorry. Thank you, Sudeep ji, and thank you to all participants who have joined us this morning. As mentioned, we have had a significant increase in our revenue, an increase of 58%, closing the year at 302 crores as against 190 crores in FY22. In addition, our revenue from own manufacturing in Rajkot has increased by 31% to 207 crores, and revenue from contract manufacturing has increased by 220% to 95 crores. Overall, this has resulted in our EBITDA margins increasing from 3.6% for FY22 to 5.9% in FY23. At the same time, we also increased our marketing spend from 1.6% of sales in FY22, which is approximately 3 crores, to 4.1% of sales in the last financial year, which is approximately 12.5 crores. Overall, we are satisfied with our performance on all parameters. The journey for us has just begun, and there is a long way to go. I would now like to allude to some of the major changes that we have taken upon in the past year. First has been the infusion of equity funds. As already stated, this was to meet working capital challenges. Some benefits are already visible. More will be visible during FY24. Number two, increasing our distribution spread. During FY23, we appointed over 100 new dealers, distributors across India. we are proud to say that we are now present in nearly all states across India. Number three, transforming towards a marketing and a brand-driven company. As mentioned earlier, we have significantly increased our spends on the brand. Large part of the spend has been on influencer incentives and engagement, visibility drive through in-shop and out-shop branding, limited radio ads in select markets, and digital marketing. Number four, dynamic management. Our team is very young at the plant as well as in sales, who are now driving a lot of our initiatives forward. Number five, debottlenecking our supply chain. We increased output from our plant by sorting out working capital challenges and did small capital expenditure that has further allowed us to increase our output from Rajkot. In addition, with better payment terms, we are able to source material marginally cheaper and on time. Number six, value-added innovation. During 2022, we became the first company in India to launch 10-foot plywood, establishing ourselves as a market leader on innovation. While the demand for this was small and niche, it gives us the tag of true product innovators. In addition, we launched Duro TV, a YouTube channel to educate customers on buying the right plywood. On this account, I have published my own book, Smart Plywood Buying Guide, and a copy of that book is available to be downloaded for free at www.plywoodguide.com. Seventh initiative that we took to was to leverage our brand strength. We entered the lower price segment with our second brand, Tower, across India. This segment contributed to over 45 crores of revenue at a growth almost seven times that of the previous year. It's only because of the strength in Duro that we were able to ramp up sales of our Tower segment so quickly. And number eight, our focus has been on an asset-light model. We developed contract manufacturers with a robust quality control program that has allowed us to significantly increase our product supplies in the market. In addition, as plywood distribution has large freight costs, we have been able to offset this, this large cost by developing our contract manufacturers regionally. All of these initiatives have contributed to our growth and turnaround. As mentioned, this journey for us has just begun and there's a long way to go. I now ask our CFO, Mr. Pawan Kumar Verma, to take us through some of the improvements in our key financials from the previous year.
Thank you and good morning to everyone. Let me take through some of the key financials from the last year. Our overall CAGR has increased from 62.5% in FY22 to 64.8% in FY23 and up to 65.7% in Q4. This is largely on account of increased business from contract manufacturing, which contributes approximately 24% margin as compared to 40% on the in-house manufactured goods. Also, we have significant inflationary pressures on our raw material costs, and management of the same remains a critical challenge. Our employee cost shows a reduction from 13.5% to 9.5% for FY23. Our days data has decreased from 38 days of sales to 35 days of sales. Our inventory days has decreased from 195 days of consumption to 134 days of consumption. Our creditors days has also decreased from 175 days of consumption to 119 days of the consumption. With all the reductions, we have been able to reduce our cash conversion cycle from 59 days to 49 days. Our overall debt to the company has substantially decreased, and that has resulted in a lower interest outflow, a reduction in absolute terms by around 1.8 crores rupees, a 21% reduction. Our interest cost as a percentage of sales stood at 2.2% of sales as compared to 4.5% in FY22. Our ROCE has also improved significantly from 2% in FY22 to 12% plus in FY23.
Thank you, Pawan. And the journey has only just begun for us. We are confident of better numbers in FY24 in terms of top line margins and bottom line. And we'd like to now open the floor for any questions.
Thank you, Akhilesh. Anyone wishing to ask a question, request you to raise your hands, unmute you and take your question. We have a question from Zaki Nasir. Zaki, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Sir, Sudeep ji, good morning, Akhilesh and Team Bureau. I think congratulations for a wonderful set of numbers in Q4. Sir, could we assume that going forward next 8 quarters will be a reflection of what happened in Q4, and could we assume that the company will have at least not a growth like between 22 and 23, but at least a 20% growth in top line and maintenance of the EBITDA margins? Thank you.
Thank you, Zaki ji. Yes, growth that we achieved in 23 would be very difficult to emulate year on year. But yes, we're looking at a growth of 20-odd% in this current financial year. We'll also should see a small improvement in our EBITDA margin. This year, we've increased our marketing spend to 4.1% of sales, which is slightly on the higher side. And we'd like to maintain at least that much on our brand spend even this year. So yes, a small marginal improvement on EBITDA margin should also be visible.
So could we assume between 8% and 9%,
Zaki ji, that's going to be slightly on the higher side. We are currently aiming in the range of 6.5% for this financial year. As the economies of scale builds, and you know, with scale we can tone down our marketing spends. With that, we should be able to get to 8%, but that will take some time. Yeah, there's a lot of disturbance.
Zaki, there's a lot of disturbance in your background. You're not clearly audible.
Is it okay now?
Yes.
Sir, your focus on the South market, sir. And West.
Yes. So, look, North India has been a very strong contributor to the organization. Almost nearly 2/3 of our revenue comes from North. But, you know, the vision of the company is to be strong across India. The type of infrastructure spend and wealth creation that's happening in the West and South of the country, we're quite ambitious on a growth on these two zones. So that's the reason why we've chosen to grow in West and South India.
And what would be the debt levels in the company, sir? The latest updated debt levels?
Pawan, can you reflect on that?
Can you please repeat that?
What would be the debt level, sir? Working capital and long term? As of 31st March.
As of 31st March, 24.
23. Jo abhi close hua.
Debt level right now is 35.66 here. Borrowings.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. And
you. Zaki, if you can please join the queue again. Thank you. We have a question from Harshit Toshniwal. Harshit, please go ahead.
Hi, Akhilesh. Hi, team. Thanks for Harshit. So, firstly, best of luck. I think it's a beginning of the journey, and clearly the numbers are reflect of the increasing effort. Just one question. Actually, this is more with regards to some clarification on the contingent liability which we are having. So I think that number, when we look at the last annual report, is around 70 crores. And that number has been there on our balance sheet for quite some time. So just wanted to understand that what is, I mean, from an investor point of view, how should we read that 70 crore? Because that number looks very large compared to our size today. But want to understand that, is it just a claim which it's a very regular tax dispute which we don't have to in the end pay? Or how should we read that 70 crore contingent liability?
Thank you, Harshit, for that question. I'll ask Sudeep ji to give an answer on that.
Thank you, Harshit. Major part of this 70 crores is a erroneous demand raised by the Income Tax Department, which happened during the COVID period. And while we have been disputing it, the response from the department has not been positive towards so far towards accepting our contentions. In the meantime, we've also taken recourse to the High Court for granting us immediate relief, which has been done by way of staying any recovery proceedings till such time the matter is resolved. So while we await the department to respond to our whatever we have reverted back with, so until such time they don't do it, it's something which is going to remain there for a while, and we are very confident that the High Court will give us a very favorable judgment, as the basic principle of natural justice has been not been followed by the department in granting us any representation.
So just so I got the point, just so what exactly this liability is related to? Is it something related to because I mean that is going to help us understand in greater comfort on the possibility of the outcome.
Sure. So what they have done is basically they've raised a demand for tax of almost 55 crores on the company by adding back almost 95 crores of expenditure as a unexplained expenditure. I mean, they've disallowed expenditure of almost 95 crores.
Relating to a previous year. I mean,
relating to a previous, relating to a previous year. So in a company where the revenue turnover in a manufacturing company is almost 200 crores, to say that 50% of the expenditure is disallowed, you can understand how erroneous that demand can be.
Understood. Got it. Fair point. And the second one, sir, is more on the fact of the premiumization part. So I think as we go through our annual report and the way Akhilesh has mapped out the strategy, we gradually want to increase the share of the premium products. And I think we are still right now above the industry average. So a large part of our portfolio comes from that portfolio. So wanted to get some color on how will that help in the overall realization, revenue growth, and more importantly, the margin improvement over time. If you can guide some kind of mix which you target over a period of time.
So sure, Harshit, I'll take that. So Harshit, our premium segment last year contributed approximately 70% of our total sales.
Right.
We don't expect the premium segment to grow as fast as what I alluded to earlier was the tower segment. So over a period of time, the premium will grow, but not at the same speed as the lower price segment. Having said that, the lower price segment product is coming through contract manufacturing where we enjoy a reasonable margin. So overall, it will be positive for the company as the top line grows. Our margins will also continue to increase.
Got it. Sure. Best of luck, sir. I think definitely a long journey ahead and very promising first generation. So we hope for the best. Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Harshit. We have a question from Utkarsh Somaya. Utkarsh, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, Utkarsh, please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So I have just a few questions. First, can you please tell, do you all, if I heard it correctly, you all outsource a certain part of your production, right?
Right.
So what percentage would that be out of your total sales?
So contract manufacturing is nearly a third of our total. From in the last year, it was nearly one third of our top line.
And currently, your balance sheet seems to have a gross block of 102 crores, if I remember.
Right.
So is this your own manufacturing plant?
Yeah, this is our own manufacturing plant in Rajkot.
So at what asset turns can you do on this gross block?
So the large part of the gross block came from the revaluation of the land in Rajkot. So that's one part of it. The second is
how much would that be?
I think the land was Pawan, can you just recheck that number? Land was, I think, valued at approximately 85 or 87 crores. How much? 83 crores. Utkarsh.
Okay.
So, yeah. And this year we did a turnover of approximately 207 crores out of Rajkot. We're looking at about a 12 to 13% growth in the current financial year.
So, out of 302, 207 was.
Yes. Yes.
And at what utilization were you operating?
This was at approximately 80%.
And do you plan to increase this, or you only resort to contract manufacturers for further expansion?
So we are doing some balancing equipment capital expenditure. So there will be a growth in the revenue that we can get out of Rajkot, but the large part of the growth will come from our contract manufacturers. We're looking at a 10 to 12% growth from Rajkot.
And how much is the capex you're planning on Rajkot?
So Rajkot, actually the thing is, our industry is very low on capital expenditure. So the capital expenditure amount isn't high. It's in the range of 3 to 4 crore rupees.
Okay. So currently you're at 80%. And is that the optimum you can operate at, or you can go to 90, 100?
We can go to up to 90%, but we'll also be looking with this balancing that our capacity to increase further. So we'll again come back to 80 odd percent.
Okay, so you'll be increasing by around 20%. Is that
right? 10%. So 10% would be the capital, the volume increase capable, and 10% would be the actual that increases. So the gap would still remain at 80%.
And what is the margin difference between in-house production and outsourcing?
Right. In-house, we get approximately 40% gross margin. And on a contract manufacturing, you get about 24%.
Okay. And just one more question regarding... I was just looking at your financials in the last 10 years. Your growth has been quite tepid. So just to understand... why is that, and what is going to change going forward, other than the brand spend? I mean, was the management dormant and didn't want to grow?
No.
Trying to understand the thought process.
Sure.
What went down? Yeah.
So, that's a very valid question, and I can see where that's coming from. So, what happened in the last decade was... we actually had another plant in the Northeast in Assam. Mm. And we restarted that unit in the late 2000s, early 2010s. And it was doing okay, but we ran into some labor and raw material challenges there. And that took a long time for us to resolve. As a result of that, the financial conditions of the company also deteriorated, resulting in significant working capital challenges. And therefore, the company desperately needed working capital, and we were losing market share to all our competitors. So during COVID and the boom that came post-COVID, we were able to raise equity that allowed us to unlock the potential of what the brand had. So I think that decision of being in the Northeast was probably a strategically, we made an error there. Having said that, we pivoted and we're focusing on our own manufacturing in Rajkot, as well as growing the contract manufacturing for the time being. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, so that plant is no more with the company?
No, it's no more. Yeah. We hived it off in a couple of years ago. It was along with a tea processing unit also. So the tea and the plywood is being made in the same plant, and both have been hived off.
If you could allow me a few more questions, what is your...
Utkarsh, if you can please join the queue, because there's a long list of participants.
Okay, thank you so much. This was
thank you.
Thank you, Utkarsh. The next question is from Hena Vora. Hena, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much for the opportunity. So the first question that I wanted to ask was, so sequentially, what I saw was your raw material has sort of remained stable while you've seen good revenue growth. So I just wanted your perspective on the ongoing timber inflation that's been impacting all plywood players.
Yeah. So Hinaji, you're absolutely right. You know, timber inflationary cost has been a big challenge, and it will continue to probably be a challenge for another year or 2 years. At the very least for our industry. The reason we've done better in terms of asset utilization or current asset utilization has been on account of a couple of initiatives that we took in the company. You know, with a fund infusion, we were able to get all the critical raw material on time in the plant. Previously, what was happening with our, you know, working capital challenges, sometimes raw material A was available, but B wasn't, so that it could not go into production. And there was also always a significant mismatch. That has been the biggest change that has happened. And it has given confidence to our suppliers to continue to supply material to us on time. We've also implemented a couple of inventory management systems internally, which has allowed for a lot of, slow moving stock to be rationalized in the last financial year. So, you know, on account of both of those things, if you our raw material management has significantly improved.
Just a follow-up on that, have we taken any price increases during last year just to combat some bit of the timber?
Yes, we have. We've seen approximately a 3.5% price hike, but that's really nowhere to compensate for the type of raw material cost increase that we have seen.
Sure.
So as I said, this will remain a challenge for our entire industry.
Okay. And do you expect to be able to take any more price increases, or that wouldn't be on the table for this?
It's too early to say. We'll just have to see how the market dynamics move. We'll just keep an eye on it. If we see an opportunity to increase the prices, be rest assured, we will not be letting go of that.
Sure. Okay. And another thing would be, we've been seeing increasingly that most plywood players enter into adjacent, MDF and particle board and laminates such fields. So are we looking to enter any of those adjacencies, basically?
Hinaji, in due course, I think right now our focus is strictly going to be the plywood business.
Sure.
Till it reaches a scale where it generates enough cash flows and profits that can sustain the requirement of the plywood business and fund any, capacity expansion into a different product line. So till that time, our focus is going to be strictly on the plywood business.
So just one thing. So how would the margin improvement that we're expecting? One would be scale, of course, as you grow bigger, that would contribute to margins. But
right.
What else would be contributing to the margins, basically?
Hinaji, we are doing some capital expenditure in our plant, balancing as well as to reduce some of our operating costs and do some automation to bring down our operating costs. Also, as the company scales improve, we'll be able to procure, on the contract manufacturing side, we should be able to get better payment, better price terms relative to what's available in the industry. So on those two fronts, I think there should be some margin improvement, but this will take time. Right now, our margin improvement should come more from the volume growth side.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hina. We have a question from Purinju Vilya. Purinju, please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Purinju. You.
Okay. Yeah, good morning, guys. Douglas, you are doing a wonderful job. Very, very happy to see the numbers. And I think Duro is moving into a different growth orbit. And with its legacy and, you know, such a recall value, both about this Duro. And anyway, it's even exciting to understand. You're talking about the 20% kind of growth.
Yes, sir.
Possibilities.
Yes.
So, of course, I just would like to know that the industry growth could be around 6-7% in my understanding. Maybe it can improve going forward. So we are expecting a much faster growth than the industry average. So,
yes,
what is the main strategy? You know, how you are going to achieve this, Agilesh?
Thank you, sir. So as you said, yes, you're right. Industry is expected to grow at 7-8%, and we are looking at a 20% growth. A couple of things that we've been doing, and it's been giving us good results, is that we have a carpenter contractor loyalty program. The entire program is run digitally through a mobile app, and we're getting very, very good results on that. Second, we added 100 new channel partners in the last financial year. We're adding a lot more in this financial year. So these channel partners, when they come on board, they take time to, you know, come up to speed with their sales with us. So a lot of hand-holding and nurturing of these channel partners we are doing. This will significantly help us increase sales. Third is the tower segment or the lower price segment product that we've launched. This will be a significant growth driver over the next 3-4 years. You know, as the income levels in India continue to increase, there will be a significant shift from the unorganized sector to the organized sector. And, you know, there is a vacuum in the market for a third large player to emerge. And that's what we're trying to basically fulfill. Our relationship with our channel has been very, very strong. A large part of our dealers, distributors are associated with us for 30, 40 years. Even the ones that have joined us recently have been, in fact, promoting the brand and, in fact, calling us up and telling ki ab isko aap dealer banaiye in their own city. So that is the level of relationship that we build with our channel and ensure that they get very good ROIs compared to the competition. So a factor of all these things will help us grow. Last is digital marketing. We're doing some very new innovative initiatives on digital marketing, especially to engage with the influencer architects and interior designers. And that I will, you know, it's in the very primary stage. If it works out very well, I'll be happy to share more on that in the future calls. So there's a whole host of new initiatives that are happening, which I'm sure will give us the type of growth we're looking at.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Agilesh.
Thank you,
and
sir.
I would like to also thank Mr. Naveen Agarwal, the SKP guys, for taking it up. It's a micro cap company today with potential to become a small cap and a mid cap company eventually. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Purinju. We have a question from Jagveer Pozda. Jagveer, please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is related to the B2C sales. So how much is the B2C sales today?
Jagveer ji, B2C would mean direct to consumers. For us, it's negligible. So over 90% of our sales comes through channel. Then we have some large institutions who buy directly from us, but that is more for commercial or for their own consumption. Like making furniture or cooling towers, etc. B2C is virtually zero for us. We don't sell directly to consumers.
So we have any plans to increase the B2C because Century and Greenply
right. Is
being in majority in the B2C segment and margins are higher over there.
All right. So what I meant by B2C is that our product sells via dealers and distributors. 90% of our sales goes through to home buyer segment. But we don't directly bill to the home buyer. So, you know, 90% of sale actually is in the home buyer segment. So I think that's what you meant, Jagveer ji. I'm not sure.
Yes. So my second question is related to the EBITDA margins.
Right.
So because we are selling more than 70% in the premium category.
Right.
And I think Century and Greenply are making EBITDA margins around 12 to 13%.
Right.
More than 10%. So we are making around 5.5% or around 6%.
Yeah.
So what are the plans to take it to the margins to the level of competitors?
Right. So Jagveji, a couple of things. So we have to see where we are coming from. For many years, our margins were EBITDA margins were very, very low. So also we're spending more as a percentage of sales as compared to probably one of the bigger players. So there is a little bit of leeway there for us, especially in the last financial year. Second is because they've grown to such scale over the years, their ability on pricing power is slightly better than ours. That gives them a couple of percentage points advantage. And third is because of our weak financials, our cost of procurement of material is slightly on the higher side. As we grow, we should be achieving economies of scale. With that will come better payment and pricing terms. And then as we spend on our marketing, which we've started doing, we should be able to price ourselves better, especially in southwest and east of the country, where we sell at a discount to the large two players. In North India, we are probably at par or slightly at a premium in some small pockets as well. So a combination of all this over the next few years will probably get us closer to their EBITDA margins, but it will take some time.
So next question is related to the raw material. Greenply and Century has some timber plants outside India, I think Myanmar and some of the other countries.
Yes.
So how we are sourcing the raw material and what are our plans to related to the raw material?
Jagveji, you're right. So Century and Green both have significant exposure in foreign countries for sourcing of timber. That again gives them an advantage on their raw material cost, which we don't enjoy right now. We are currently sourcing our raw material as much as possible locally through either farmers or people who process the timber in India, or through traders who import some of the raw material that needs to be imported. And therefore, there's some money left on the table there as well. Again, as the financial position of the company improves, and then we will take a call on strategically how to go about taking care of this challenge.
And last question, the promoters has only this company or any private company promoters has?
So this is the main company for the promoters.
But any other company, small company related in the related business?
Not really.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jagvi. We have a question from Hiten Boricha. Hiten, please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. And thank you for the opportunity. So I have a list of questions, but as of now, I'll stick for two or three. So first question is on the advertisement expense. We are going to spend around 14-15% 14-15 crore this year on advertising. Yes. So just wanted to understand where are we going to spend this kind of huge amount of advertisement expense. What I meant is, what I want to understand is, are we going to spend this?
Naveenji, can we mute Jagveer, sir, please? Yeah, thank you. Ha, Hitenji, please carry on.
Should I continue, sir? Yeah.
Yes.
So what I want to understand is, where are we going to spend this? Are we going to spend this on new geographies, or are we going to spend on competitive market? We are looking to expand outside our current geography. So just wanted to understand if you can give some light or color on this.
Sure. Hitenji, a very valid question. So a large part of our expense comes from BTL activities. We don't do ATL at all, or very limited ATL. So in terms of where we will be spending this, it will go towards trade incentives, influencer incentives and engagement, visibility drive. So ensuring dealer boards, dealer signages, wall paintings, etc. in markets are visible, and a little bit on digital advertisements. In terms of geography, I alluded that we're looking at strong growth from West and South. So a significant amount will be spent in the western and southern part of the country, but we will also have to spend in the northern part of the country, which is our, what do I say? It's a fort. So it'll be a mix. Again, for me to say now how it will pan out for the rest of the year is going to be a little difficult. We remain very, very tactical and agile. And as soon as we see opportunity where there's some movement happening, we back it up with some marketing spends. That's how it's going to be.
Okay. Great explanation. And my second question is on tax rate, sir. What would be a tax rate? Because currently it's around 30%, I assume. We have any accumulated losses in last few years? Why is our tax rate so high?
Hitenji, you're absolutely right. This is on account of accumulated losses. So there's not been any cash outflow. If you see our P&L statement, the tax amount has come via deferred tax reversal. There is not going to be any cash outflow for the performance of last financial year. Pawan, can you just allude to amount of carry forward losses that we are carrying?
It's around 25 to 27 crores.
So, Hitenji, the 27 crores of carry forward losses will be there, which will offset our tax outflow for the next couple of years at least.
So, no real cash outflow for next 2 years, right?
We hope not.
Okay. And so my last question is, you have guided for around 20% growth. So what will be the value growth and the volume growth, sir?
So you're looking at about 18 to 20% value growth. Volume growth would be about 22%. This is because of the product mix change. As the lower price segment increases, of course, it comes at a lower value. So
18 to 20% value and?
About 22 to 23% volume.
Okay, but but we are looking total growth of 20%, right?
Yeah, as I said, 18 to 20%. 20% to 18% ke beech mein our indication would be there.
Okay.
Yeah, 18 cities.
Okay. And just a small feedback, sir, if you can share the volume number, the realization number, and some more insights about our business in the next quarter in the PPT, sir, that would be really helpful to understand the company.
Sure, sir. We'll do that from next time.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Atin. We have a question from Aditya Chug. Aditya, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. First of all, congratulations on the great set of numbers. My question is regarding the Duro brand. So it's a very old and recognizable brand, and it also commands premium in some of the territories where Duroply Wood is selling. Any strategies around scaling up the business by leveraging the brand and say maybe getting into other business segments, maybe relating to building materials or other segments, say, which are synergistic to the current operations of the company, could be bath fittings or hardware products like door handles, locks, etc.
Right. So, Aditya, thank you very much. It's a very valid question. So, our current focus remains on scaling our existing business. Having said that, the brand is very, very strong and we have a very large and loyal distribution network that can be leveraged for allied products. That would also require significant management focus going towards a new initiative, which for the next 12 months at least, we would not like to do. We would like to first scale and, you know, establish the operations where it becomes a cash generating machine for the organization. And then the management bandwidth can be taken to other initiatives. But till that time, the temptation is there, but we're not looking to explore those opportunities at this point of time.
Right. But products like wooden doors could be the low-hanging fruits which the company could start creating into their business.
So we do manufacture flush doors as part of our product portfolio. It's a very small part of our portfolio at this point of time. And our focus is on growing this segment that we are anyways working on. And there's a lot of scope on the door segment. So over the next couple of years, We hope that the door segment for us becomes a big contributor to the company's growth.
Right. Thanks a lot. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aditya. We have a question from Tarun Rathi. Tarun, please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations to Team Duro for a wonderful set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, Tarun, please go ahead.
Just one question. We are entering the West and the South. So, and which segment is performing more over there? The premium, the Rajkot factory produced product, or the commercial tower product?
So, Tarunji, thank you. Well, we're not entering West and South. We've been present there. We're looking to grow more. Currently, West and South contributes to about 28% of our revenue as we in FY23. Our focus always to enter market remains with the premium segment because that's what the brand is known for. Once the premium segment establishes itself, the lower price commercial product automatically starts to see a uptick. And so we are moving ahead with that strategy. Western India tower was introduced along with North India last year. And South India, we just did it towards quarter four of last financial year. So we just have to see how both the markets take up. But our focus is to grow both the premium product as well as tower. Of course, tower is easier in acceptance in the market because of its lower price point. For dealers, distributors, it becomes much easier to stock it. I hope that gives you some clarity.
And one more thing, what about the freight cost? What are our plans to reduce the freight cost?
Tarunji, already this year our freight cost, Pawan, can you just confirm the freight cost? I think it's below 4% already this year. Tarunji, our freight cost has already come down to 3.5% of sales. This is because of the regional contract manufacturing that we set up. So large part of South India's requirement is being fed out of from our contract manufacturers in the southern part of the country. A little bit of a north, our entire requirement for a tower segment in the north part of the country comes from contract manufacturers in the north. So we've been able to significantly optimize our freight expenditure. There is still some scope on that, and we're working on those fronts to get it further down.
Any plans to monetize the surplus land in Rajkot?
Not really, Tarunji. No plans as of now.
Wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arun. The next question is from Poram Maki. Poram, please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just a few quick questions. What would be your capacity in the plywood division?
In terms of volume?
Yeah.
So our Rajkot plant has a 75 lakh square meter production for the year.
And what would be our utilization?
I think I alluded to this earlier. It was about 80%, just north of 80%.
And this is just the premium segment, right?
A large 95% of the production in Rajkot is the premium segment.
And what would be the peak utilization that we could do?
Close to 90%.
Okay. So are we planning any capex in this segment?
Yeah. I'd answered this earlier. We are doing some balancing, which will increase our Rajkot capacity over the next 12 months, marginally, 8 to 10%, 10% capacity expansion. But then that would also result in production going up and the utilization remaining in the 80 to 85% range.
Got it. And so how is the demand scenario right now, considering the rising interest rates? And so how are you seeing it in the future?
Right. In terms of any changes that the RBI makes on the monetary policy, our industry is kind of a laggard in that sense. We typically see challenges of that 3-4 quarters later. I sense there is a little bit of a challenge in the market. At this, can you mute Tarunji? I think
I'll just.
Yeah, sorry. So there are some challenges on the demand side. But having said that, you know, plywood industry has been surprisingly doing very well. And while the challenges would be more because of tightness in the cash flow cycle, I really don't see, any major drop in demand in our segment. The next 5 to 10 years, the number of housing that needs to be made and as income levels go up, people do tend to prefer using plywood as their preferred choice of material. So there could be small bumps on the road, I would say that way. But in the foreseeable future, I don't see much challenge on the demand side.
And any threat from MDF?
There's always a threat from new products entering the market, but I think the market for the MDF has been maturing. I think the users, the carpenter contractors, have understood where it's okay to use MDF or HDHMR and where they need to use plywood. If you look at the numbers that have come out recently, the MDF numbers have not been very, very promising in terms of volume growth. But plywood numbers have done extremely well. So I think the market is adjusting. The people who use or recommend the usage of MDF and plywood have started understanding what utilization is possible with both products. And that's a very, very positive news for the plywood industry.
Got it. And so, we are saying that we are doing about 20 to 25% sales in West and South, right?
West and South combined stood at 28% for us.
28%. And yeah. So is this completely premium or does this also include the lower price segment?
Large part of it is premium, a significantly large part. South is 95% premium for us. As I said, we entered the lower segment only, in Q4. And West is also about 80% would be premium and 20% would be on the lower price.
So we would be catering to that demand with our own manufacturing, right?
Yeah. Western India, we cater to the premium segment through our own manufacturing. The lower price segment is mainly through contract manufacturers. South India, the premium as well as the lower end. In South India, the premium is partially met by our own manufacturing in Rajkot for certain products that we don't allow, IP to go to contract manufacturers. So that gets made in-house. And other products, we are now working through contract manufacturers to feed the demand in South. And the entire lower-end segment in South India will come from contract manufacturing.
Okay. And any plans of setting up a new facility in some other region?
Not at this point of time. We just want to grab as much market share, and that's where the focus is going to be on deployment of capital, on working capital and ensuring our market share grows. Our business is very working capital intensive. And then if any opportunity arises thereafter, we will look at it at that point of time.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Forum. Wow, that was a long Q&A session. Akhilesh, there are a few questions that have been posted on the Q&A board. Should I take them?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, there's a question from Sonal R.
Yeah.
The margins of peer sets such as Greenlam, Stylam, Century are between 16 to 24%. Europli margins have been significantly lower than most listed peers. Right. Even if we consider one of the marketing expenses, still your margins are considerably low. Kindly explain.
Our product mix is largely plywood, whereas Greenlam, Stylam both have a very significant laminate business. I think the margins on the laminate business are slightly on the higher side. Second, because of our financial challenges over the years, our cost of procurement of material is slightly on the higher side. Our plant is located in the western part of the country, whereas our raw material source as well as our source of sales is in the northern part of the country. And then now south is also growing. So, on account of a bunch of factors, our margins have been on the slightly lower side. So that's the my that would be my response to that. It'll take us some time to improve the margins, but we are working on that.
Sonal, I hope that answers your question. A couple of questions from a gentleman, Rahul N. What is the outlook for the next year in terms of revenue and margins? And where do you see the company in the next 3 to 5 years?
The outlook, as I mentioned earlier, we were looking at 18 to 20% revenue growth, subject to market conditions being favorable and continuing as they are. And we would see a marginal improvement in EBITDA margins. That's what we're forecasting. So I think I already answered and given an indication of about 6 to 6.5% earlier in the presentation.
And where do we see the company in the next 3 to 5 years?
We're just going to take it 1 year at a time for the time being. We do expect to grow and be a significant player in the industry in the near term. But, you know, we just started a turnaround journey. I just want to keep our heads down and focus on the, you know, the next few steps and take it as it comes. There's a long, long way for us to go.
Thanks, Akhilesh. Jagdeep Singh, do you have a long-term contract manufacturing? Do you have a long-term manufacturing contract with reputed furniture makers and builders? How rates revision is decided?
Right. So we're working with some very reputed furniture manufacturers in the northern part of the country. Some of the names I can, they already shared in the investor presentation. And we've been working with some of them for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. The ones that are new, we've been able to give them a product very suited to their requirement, their machining, which gives us a slight competitive edge. So that's how we work with them. We don't have per se a annual contract with them. There's a lot of work done on relationship basis, and price increase is implemented based on the market dynamics. So when we increase prices for the trade, subsequently we also increase in the same proportion for most of our furniture manufacturing customers.
Hey Jay, hello. Will the conclusion? Sorry, Gaurav Somani asks, what would be our tax rate going forward?
To answer that, we don't have a major. We don't have any cash outflow towards tax. The tax rate that you're seeing currently is on account of past accumulated losses and deferred tax being reversed. So that's the reason why the tax rate is fluctuating. It's as per the tax laws of India.
Ankur Kumar has a couple of questions. Since we have a good distribution network, any plans to enter into laminate or MDF? And second question, marketing expenses will continue at 4% of sales for the next few years. That's the question. Will the marketing expenses continue to be around 4% for the next few years? And can we expect quarterly con calls? Yes, Ankur, we'll definitely try to have a quarterly con call. So I'll answer that on behalf of you. Yeah, Akhilesh.
Yes. And on the other question, any plans to enter laminate or MDF? We have a good distribution network. Ankur, I alluded to this. We are focusing on growing the plywood business. I think we've just made a turnaround and we need to establish ourselves, make the company robust financially before we can enter any other product line. Entering any other product line requires a significant amount of capital as well as management bandwidth. Both are very precious for this organization at this point of time. So we're going to stick to growing the plywood business for the time being. And there was, I think, another part of his question. I'm not sure. I think I answered.
Will the marketing expenses continue to be around 4%?
Yes. It should be at 4%. If we are able to get further margin improvements, then we'll take a call then whether we want to further increase it or not.
Ankur, your question on what will be the tax rate has already been answered by Akhilesh. Hena Vora, she has a follow-up question. Just circling back to demand sentiments in the market, you have alluded to some softness, and we have been hearing of significant downtrading. If this trend were to continue, the economy commercial range would grow faster, but could be margin dilutive. Thoughts on this?
So on the demand sentiments, we factor in these conditions when we make our plans for the year. And I think our estimate is reasonable at this point of time. The increase, as I mentioned earlier, we anyways have about a 24% GP on the trading, on the contract manufacturing side. I think that's a very healthy margin to have. So I don't have there. Of course, margins will always be a concern, but I think we are reasonably confident in achieving the numbers, unless there is some unforeseen significant harakiri that happens in the market. Then it's a different ballgame. But that's about it.
There are a couple of questions from someone called Anonymous Attendee. Participants, request you to please identify yourselves, because it becomes difficult to take up the questions otherwise. Right. But nevertheless, I'll just take this up. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Please let us know what percentage of your shares are pledged and how have you used the same? When are you planning to release this pledge?
Very valid question. So the shares were pledged on account by our bankers on account of the deteriorating financials of the company to secure the working capital loans that the company already enjoyed. With the improved financials, we are now in conversation with our banks and to have the same released at the earliest.
Okay, one more follow-up question from Ankur Kumar. The other income of 1 crore plus was quite high this quarter four versus past few quarters. Can you please explain this other income?
Right. A large part of this came from the, we had some land left in the Northeast. And so that was sold, when we exited the plant, there was some land that was not sold. And so now we have completely exited all assets from the Northeast. So that is probably the reason for the higher, that is the reason for the higher other income.
Participants, anyone with a question, request you to raise your hand so that we can unmute you and take your question.
I think there's one question that's just come in.
There's a question from Bhavani Kumawat. Bhavani, please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity and thank you, Akhilesh sir, for the good set of numbers. So, sir, what we are hearing on the market side is that MDF has started taking share of the low-end plywood segment. And in the meantime, you are talking that the large growth will be coming from that non-premium or that segment. I just wanted to understand more about on the same.
Sure. So, Bhavani, if you look at the plywood industry, what we mean by the lower end segment is actually not the lowest end of the market. There is a sub or an extremely cheap grade of material that none of the branded organized players exist in. And that is where the MDF has made a real dent in the industry. So when it comes to this lower mid segment, that's what I would like to call it, and upward to the premium, plywood still continues to have a very strong grip on the market as a product. But the absolute bottom end on which the unorganized sector largely existed on, that has been impacted, and none of the organized players are in that segment in any meaningful way.
Got it, sir. So, just two more questions. What is the mix we are expecting from premium and non-premium over the next 3 to 5 years?
Bhavani, again, I'm not going to be giving any indication of 3 to 5 years. It's a long way ahead, and we have just turned around. So there's a lot of work for us to do. So giving an answer looking 3 to 5 years ahead at this point would be, I don't think appropriate or the correct thing to do. Having said that, our premium product, we do expect for growth in the premium segment, about 10 to 12% year on year, and the tower segment and the mid segment products to grow at about 30-odd% for the next financial year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bhavani. We have a question from Imran Khan. Imran, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sorry, I joined the call a little late. So maybe, you know, my question would be a repetition. You can skip it, if already answered. I wanted to understand the impact of imports on your business.
Sure. So Imran, imported plywood does not have a very big dent on our business, as what our current business model is. Imported plywood is largely used in absolutely the cheap end segment or in commercial projects, which is a very, very small portfolio in our total business. So we are kind of protected from a lot of imports of plywood from other countries.
And it doesn't impact your realizations as well?
No, we are focused more on the premium home buyer segment. So again, the imported products don't really compete in that segment. So we're reasonably well protected there.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Imran. Okay, friends, we're running out of time. So we have just about enough time for a question from Hiten and a couple of questions on the Q&A. Hiten, please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up, sir. Sir, can you throw some light on the working capital cycle? I've been seeing that working capital is improving so much. It was from 62 days to 40-odd days in FY23. So just wanted to understand what have we done in last couple of years to improve this and how is it going to pan out in next couple of years, maybe next 1 year?
So Hiten, kind of answered this earlier and I'll repeat myself. See, debtor days on the industry for a number of years, we've been very, very strong. And that alludes to the quality of channel and dealer distributors that we have. Now, when it comes to days payable, the infusion of equity capital, which was for the reason of working capital, has allowed us to bring this under control. Mm-hmm. So that is there. The third is on the days inventory. With the infusion of funds, we've been able to procure all our raw material on time. Previously, what would happen, we would get X raw material, but then Y would finish. So, that we were stuck in that logjam. Second, we also implemented some new inventory management systems, which have allowed for some of the slow moving inventories to be consumed and, liquidate that through a normal sales. So that has brought this down. So, I hope that answers your question.
Thanks for repeating my answer, sir. And so last is on this interest cost. So just wanted to understand, we are now going to generate good cash. So what will our debt look like? And as you mentioned earlier, our financials are getting stronger and we are in talks with the bank. So any color on the debt, what would it be looking like by end of FY24 or interest cost is going to come down, anything on that?
So Hiten, what I can answer on that part is that we are working with the banks to lower our rate of interest. A large part of our debt is working capital loan pledged against our debtors and stocks. That's what accounts for a large part of our debt. There's not a lot of long-term debt on the balance sheet. So I think on the debt side, we're reasonably comfortable from the quantum of debt and the type of debt we have. Mm-hmm. Our challenge is the cost of debt that is there because of the weak financials. So we are working with the bank A to remove the pledge of promoter shares that exists, and also to reduce the level of interest costs that we are bearing. Again, with improved financials, I'm pretty sure the banks will look favorably at the company for that.
Okay. Yeah. So what would be our current cost of debt? And this is my last question. Thank you.
Pavan, can you answer that? Which cost of debt?
Around 40%. Right
now. Sorry? It's about 14 to 15%.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hiten. We'll just take a couple of questions on the Q&A board before winding up. Ankur Kumar, can you please explain the seasonality of the business, in which of the quarters is the best and which is the worst?
Right. So, good question. So, for us particularly, we are a home buyer segment driven brand, and so we are dependent on a lot of labor strength being available on site from the carpentry side. So quarter one is always a challenge because most carpenters, or large part of carpenters and their labor comes from the UP, Bihar side. And there's always a challenge on labor at that time. Second is quarter three is always a challenging quarter because we're a trade-driven company. So quarter three, a lot of days go in, the festival season, Diwali and Dashera, and that phase is a little challenging. So those are the two seasonality challenges that we get. But otherwise, it's not as bad as it is in other industries.
Okay. Dhiral Shah, what is the price difference between your products and peers' products like Century and Greenply?
So in North India, we compete on pricing with Greenply, Century Ply. In some parts of North India, we in fact get a premium over them as well, which is our strong area. West and South, we sell at a discount to them, and East is at a significant discount to them. So as we grow and as we continue to grow and spend more on marketing, we will be looking at covering some of that gap, but nothing in the near future.
Sarvesh Bodani. So you have guided for volume growth of 18 to 20% and a value growth of 20 to 22%. This translates to around 40% revenue growth. So is that our guidance?
No, not at all. Not at all. We said volume growth of over 22%, value growth of 18 to 20%. Our estimate still remains at overall revenue growth of 18 to 20%.
And the last question for the afternoon is from Tarun Rathi. Scenic by Century's market share versus Towers.
Oh, we're very, very small, Tarunji. I will not even answer that. We are in the first year of full-fledged operations. They've been in that market for 8 to 10 years. We're a small baby in a large market. I'll just answer it that way.
And probably the turnaround is pegging you in that category. Investors want to see you in that category.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question. As there are no further questions, I'd like to hand over the webinar to Akhilesh or Sudeep Ji for the closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much to everyone for being part of this initiative and the first webinar that the company has hosted. Thank you to SKP for hosting it for us and taking us through this exercise and this experience. Thank you to all the people who have been part of the webinar to have put forward their views and sought their the company's management's views on the future growth of the company and what we feel is going to happen. Thank you very much, and we look forward to more such engagements going ahead with and giving you confidence that the company is on the right track as far as its future vision is concerned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Sudeep Ji, Akhilesh, and Pawan Ji for taking time out for this webinar. And we look forward to hosting you for all future interactions. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you.